from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next up on Forum this morning, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, MTC, and the Association of Bay Area Governments, ABAG, are responsible for housing and transportation planning for the Bay Area, including the controversial Plan Bay Area mandate. Now there's talk of merging the two agencies with a study underway on how that could be best accomplished. But critics argue that the merger process lacks transparency and that a consolidated agency will take decision-making out of the hands of local communities. We'll discuss the benefits and the drawbacks of a potential merger. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. The Metropolitan Transportation Commission, MTC, and the Association of Bay Area Governments, ABAG, are responsible for housing and transportation planning for the Bay Area. In 2013, the two regional agencies voted for Plan Bay Area, which affects all of the nine Bay Area counties and calls for high-density housing and transit solutions. There have been numerous attempts to merge both agencies, and advocates are once again calling for a merger in a controversial ongoing debate which may determine what lies ahead for regional planning here in the Bay Area. To merge or not to merge, we'll take up the debate in this morning's opening forum hour. And joining us here in studio is Egon Terplan, who is, among other things, an intern emeritus of the Forum program, but now regional planning director for SPUR, the San Francisco Bay Area Planning and Urban Research Association. Good to see you again. Welcome, Egon.
Thank you very much. Good to see you, Michael.
And Julie Pierce is also with us in studio, and she's president of the Association of Bay Area Governments, also a council member for the City of Clayton. She's the ABAG representative to the MTC, Metropolitan Transportation Commission. And welcome, Julie Pierce.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. We also have a couple of guests with us by phone this morning. Dave Cortese, who is chair of the MTC and former president of the board for ABAG. He's also a supervisor of District 3, Santa Clara County. Dave Cortese, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
We're going to have him on with us. We're also going to have Zelda Bronstein on with us, a Bay Area activist and journalist by phone, former chair of Berkeley Planning Commission, who writes for 48 Hills. And I should mention that we did a pre-interview this morning with Assemblymember Catherine Baker, who represents the 16th District, and we'll hear that in the course of this hour. First, I want to go to Egon Terplan, though, and why do we need a merger of these two agencies?
So the Bay Area has a series of regional government agencies that are trying to do very good work, but they were designed in many ways for a different era. They were designed in the post-war years to deal with the rapid growth in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And we now, right now, have ABAG and MTC. ABAG has concern with land use planning and local government representation. MTC focuses on transportation planning and a lot of other issues. But we're the only metropolitan region in California where the transportation entity and the land use entity are separate. Every other metropolitan region in California has those as one single agency.
And they become separate cultures. They become, in effect, I suppose what you could call separate governances and so forth. And to bring them together would present problems, as any kind of merger of that sort does when you have two different cultures.
Well, they have two different boards. And those two different boards are because they are fundamentally two different agencies. But I think that if we look back at the history, all these other regions have a single one. And really what's changed in all the decades, you mentioned at the beginning, we've tried to merge them together. In fact, there were attempts in the 1970s, shortly after MTC was formed, to merge them. We've tried many times. But what's really changed now is we have a state law that requires that every region in California plan for its transportation and its land use together. Senate Bill 375, you mentioned Plan Bay Area. That's a state law, and every major region in California is producing such a plan. We have two agencies that must adopt it. Every other region has just one agency. And so they can balance those issues together and really think about how transportation and land use are intertwined.
And SPUR is behind this.
We're very supportive of the idea of a merger, of creating a comprehensive agency, yes.
There's also a study that's up ahead. It has to be done by June, and there's been a great deal of concern that this is not enough of a lead time. Right?
Well, these are big questions about governance. What kind of a region do we want? How do we want it to govern? And we would actually argue that merging ABAG and MTC is just a part of the equation. It doesn't deal with a much broader set of issues that we're thinking about, sea level rise in the future. What kind of a governance for our region do we really want to have is the big question. There was an agreement by both boards to do a study by June. It's an important step to take place. We hope there can be considerable progress made by June and a serious decision about moving forward in a way that's going to really be beneficial to the Bay Area.
Is that enough time, though?
I don't think it's enough time to resolve all the major issues, but it certainly hopefully should be enough time for both agencies to get agreement on the idea that we really need to have one agency, one governing board, and one staff.
Egon Terplan is regional director, planning director for SPUR, the San Francisco Bay Area Planning and Urban Research Association. Actually, Julie Pierce is also with us in studio, and she's president of the Association of Bay Area Governments, council member of the City of Clayton, and ABAG representative to the MTC. This merger came about because of tension between the two agencies to a great deal extent, didn't it, Julie?
Yes, it did. We had a few hiccups going through Plan Bay Area 2013. As two agencies who have different cultures and different planning styles are likely to do, there were some times when we didn't always see eye to eye. We did work our way through it, and we now have an acclaimed Plan Bay Area, which is considered by many to be one of the best in the state. It is probably more far-reaching than several of the ones in the state. That doesn't mean it was stress-free by any means. And I think this effort to merge the two agencies into one comprehensive planning agency is a good idea.
We've had, for example, Steve Hamminger of MTC said, and I wonder if maybe even you took some exception to this, that that the MTC is an agency of action and it's proactive, and ABAG is an agency of discussion and policy discussion mainly.
I believe that's exactly what Mr. Hemminger said, and I think my response was the idea of creative tensions to work out our differences is probably healthy, that we get a full, honest discussion of all aspects of something rather than just taking an obvious answer or one path.
What's the big advantage, though, of bringing these two agencies together from your perspective? What do you get out of it? What does the region get out of it, more importantly?
More importantly, what the region gets out of it is one comprehensive planning agency for land use and transportation, which are inextricably intertwined. There is no way you can separate those two in the modern day. And I think it's really, really important that we prioritize those interests and make sure that we create a better quality of life for the Bay Area.
Well, you've heard Julie Pierce from ABAG and again Perpen from SPUR speaking favorably of this merger earlier today. And we've got a couple of other people who want to weigh in here. But earlier this morning, I spoke with Assembly Member Catherine Baker, who represents parts of the East Bay, and she's a critic. Let's hear what she had to say.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I guess your concern about this merger is largely local control.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, I think originally how the process was proceeding back in the fall and earlier part of last year was not the right way to go. And I do credit that MTC and ABAG are now working together to see what they may be able to resolve. It's one of the reasons why last fall I had written this House, this body, the Assembly, and suggested that we have hearings, was to see what are the implications for people in the Bay Area. So I'm glad that we're doing this, and this is exactly the process we should be going through.
What about your concerns, though, with local control? I mean, you've expressed these. What do they amount to?
Well, a couple things. First of all, it's more than local control. These are two entities, MTC and ABAG both, that have a significant impact on our daily lives in the Bay Area. And it's important that we make sure they are transparent and they are accountable. They affect what happens in our communities, but they don't live in every community that is affected by it. And I think it's significant what their impact is, and it's important that we have a process that allows us to have some accountability and transparency to what their operations are. You know, they are affecting where our housing is, the density of the housing in our communities, where our roads will be or won't be, and they're very, very powerful entities, and those are exactly the kind of entities that need to be the subject of local control and accountability and transparency.
And not enough time to really look into all that because of this present study that's supposed to be done by June?
Well, I understand that there's a study and that they're working on this study, and they give a very short window of time in which to weigh in on that study. That's why I'm pleased that we're doing this committee independent from what ABAG and MTC are doing. It needs to be independent. It needs to thoroughly look at what should be the role of both of these entities and what should be their operations, so they are subject to local accountability and local control. And that's a conversation we can have regardless of the study. I think it can certainly be informed by it, but we won't let that be a predetermination of the outcome.
Well, what about the governance structure, and what about issues such as the fact that you have two, by some people's lights, bloated bureaucracies that are coming together into one bureaucracy?
Well, first of all, I do think it's important that whenever we can streamline government agencies and find better efficiencies so they can be more effective and efficient with what they do for us, we should do that. This is a good conversation for both of these entities to be having, but I think it is absolutely necessary that we open up those questions to should they be running the way they are at all, and how can we ensure that they are more subject to accountability and that there's actually a voice for the people whose lives they are affecting that's much more direct than it is now. And those are the kind of questions I intend to pursue in the committee.
Are you going to pursue also some of the concern that has been expressed, about each entity, but particularly about MTC in terms of the way it's operated in the past with the Bay Bridge, these kinds of things?
Well, I think all of that is fair for consideration, and one reason is because you want to learn from what you've done in the past. You want to learn what can we do to improve it and be better, and both agencies, I think any government agency, is subject to that kind of analysis, and I think that's a good part of the conversation to have. That's not the only part. Again, we should be looking for what going forward is the best structure to have for regional planning in the Bay Area, but I wouldn't say that it's not necessary to look at what hasn't worked in the past. We need to do this right the first time, and I think that's why we need to spend the time on it.
Assemblywoman, appreciate your spending time with us, and thank you for being with us on Forum this morning.
Great. I will look forward to the hearing and keeping in touch with you about it.
Catherine Baker of the 16th Assembly District in the East Bay. And again, we spoke earlier with Assemblymember Baker, and we're going to continue this discussion and bring Dave Cortese into it. He's chair of the MTC, former president of the board for ABAG, and a supervisor in District 3 in Santa Clara County. Dave Cortese, welcome to the Forum program.
Hi. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Let me begin by asking you, I think you've been using language of functional consolidation. Sounds a little bit wonky, but what does that mean exactly?
Well, we got together about a year ago when I took over my two-year term as chair of MTC. Several of us, Commissioners Pierce, Luce, Commissioner Luce from Napa, Commissioner Haggerty from Alameda, Commissioner Spearing from Solano, and myself from Santa Clara County, got together as an ad hoc group and talked about what we can do, you know, in terms of urging the creation of efficiencies between the two organizations. We weren't talking about merger, particularly at that time. We were talking about very pragmatic concerns. How can we work more smoothly through this SB 375 Plan Bay Area process that you heard Julie Pierce talking about just a few minutes ago? How can we avoid, you know, the redundancy in effort in some cases that's costing the taxpayers dollars day in and day out, and you know, in some people's minds is creating a Bay Area that just doesn't do everything it can to link transportation and housing and reduce congestion and get people home from work on time. So we got together last year, a year ago, and started talking about this in a series of ad hoc meetings, and we decided at that point in time to either bring in a consultant like Management Partners, who we have now, or let the two executive directors of the two agencies, you know, give it their best shot in terms of coming forward with answers to our questions. How can things be better?
Well, you probably saw the editorial that appeared in the San Jose Mercury News, and I'd like to get you on record in response to it. Functional consolidation was described as analogous to Russia and Ukraine. In fact, the language was fairly strong, to put it mildly. He called this a blatant power grab and financial bullying, and MTC, that is Metropolitan Transportation Commission, blackmail to take over ABAG and to take over their functions. And how do you say to all that?
Well, I think that's typical of somebody, an opinion maker who arrives as a Johnny-come-lately, 6 or 7 months after We started a process 15 years after my first discussion about consolidation and merger as president of ABAG, and all of a sudden you get an editorial where somebody's trying to convince the public that somebody just dropped a bombshell. Somebody just came up with this fantastical idea overnight as a power grab, you know, completely ignoring the fact that commissioners for the MTC, board members for ABAG, executive directors going back a couple of generations have been working hard on something that, frankly, has consumed about 25% of my lifetime. I'm closing in on 60 years old, and I've been working on this for 15 years. You know, so to have an opinion maker like that come out and say, look at this sudden power grab effort, you know, this blindside, you know, is, you know, it's a little disingenuous to those who are in the trenches working hard on these kinds of issues.
And but there has been criticism of another sort that I'd like you to address, not necessarily from opinion makers, that there hasn't been enough transparency and enough public engagement where MTC is concerned. And, of course, with looking back about the Bay Bridge and other kinds of problems, there are many who feel that MTC has a good deal to answer for and is a totally separate entity from ABAC.
Both agencies have a good deal to answer for. That's the business that we're in. You know, we're representing the public interest. We're accountable to taxpayer.
But not elected.
We are elected. I'm elected. I've been elected.
No, not elected to the agency.
I've succeeded in being elected through 9 elections so far over 23 years, and a lot of my colleagues are, you know, have either matched or surpassed that. So we're extremely accountable, and I think you see that in ABAG meetings, and I think you see that in MTC meetings. So people are constantly talking about what needs to happen in their home counties relative to regional guidance, you know, regional commentary. So the idea that somehow there's, you know, folks who are appointed that aren't accountable to taxpayers is, you know, it's hyperbole of some sort at best. It's a misrepresentation at worst.
Okay, Dave Cortese is chair of MTC, former president of the board for ABAG and supervisor of District 3 in Santa Clara County. And Zelda Bronstein is another critic of this merger. She's a Bay Area activist and journalist with former chair of Berkeley's Planning Commission. She writes for 48 Hills. And welcome to the program, Zelda Bronstein.
Thank you very much, Michael. Glad to be here.
Your concern is with the democratic process and all this and governance, isn't it, mainly?
Yes, it is. But before I talk about that, I'd like to just address some things that have already come up. Starting with the power grab, the person who wrote that editorial was spot on, and what's not being said is the only reason this is happening, this merger, so-called merger, I'd call it a hostile takeover, is because MTC funds ABAG's land use planners, and they have threatened to stop doing that. This is a shotgun wedding. It is not being done voluntarily by ABAG.
You mean they're holding the purse and they're using that leverage?
That's right. And one of the things that ought to be discussed, and actually Solano County Supervisor Sparing, who sits on MTC, has said it repeatedly, and it has not been addressed. It's not part of the assignment for the consultants. ABAG needs to be given an independent basis of revenue. It needs to be financially independent so it can come to the negotiating table as an equal partner. But I want to get back to the concerns about efficiency, which, as Supervisor Cortese said, that's the main argument, and that's the argument that Spur has made as well. Those concerns are bogus. Neither MTC nor Spur has identified any genuine inefficiencies in the current arrangements. And MTC is in no position to be lecturing anybody about efficiency. This is an agency that's looking at a 50% cost overrun, $83 million, on its Tony new headquarters in San Francisco that lost $120 million in credit swaps, think The Big Short, in 2010, and still has hundreds of millions of dollars in variable rate investments. These are bridge tolls in these speculative assets. And that's played a major role in the debacle of the new eastern span of the Bay Bridge. So the idea that MTC is a paragon of efficiency, that is ludicrous. And this fight is not about building a better flow chart or saving taxpayers' money. It's about power and policy, if you will, ideology, the ends of power. And what's at stake, now we'll get to the democratic governance question, is democratic accountability and social justice in the Bay Area.
Well, I'm wondering, frankly, and let's get to governance, because what a merger would look like. Would it be a council of governments or an arm of the state like MTC?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. That's what the study, and you're completely right. This is a ridiculously short time frame to study this very complex and challenging issue. You're also right when you raised the question about accountability, when you said to Supervisor Cortese, well, you're not elected to that agency. That's right. He's elected. He's elected to be a county supervisor, and that's true of the other members of MTC and also the executive board and the administrative committee, which is the power committee at ABAG. They're elected officials. They're not elected to serve on ABAG or MTC, and they don't run on their regional platforms. They're not being accountable, held accountable by the voters for what they do there. And let's be honest, most people in the Bay Area don't know that MTC and ABAG exist, much less what they're doing.
Much less what they stand for, in fact, what the letters stand for,
<That's right. laughs>
I found through the years. But also, I found through the years, and this is a statistic that certainly listeners may want to be apprised of, only 9% of the Bay Area's 101 cities are represented in the MTC. ABAG, on the other hand, has one city, one vote. So we've got different forms of governance. Can you address that, Julie Pierce?
Sure, be glad to. Yes, ABAG is a council of governments. All of the cities and counties are members. They all get together at least once a year for a general assembly and to talk about things. We have an executive committee that is representative of all of those. So every county and every conference of cities in those counties are represented directly.
What about what we just heard, though, from Zelda Bronstein, that they're holding the money over you, that MTC has essentially the purse here?
That's certainly true.
And
there's
that,
no question.
But so when people talk about hostile takeover, they're talking about from the standpoint of who has more money and who controls the revenue.
That's exactly true. MTC controls the revenue that pays for ABAG's planning staff and support staff for the land use planning effort that goes into SB 375. Without that, ABAG cannot function that way. The proposal was for MTC to move the planners from ABAG's land use department into MTC.
Here's what I'm going to do. Egan, you wanted a word in here? Go ahead, Egan Turklin.
Well, I think that, I mean, what's getting lost a little bit here is the notion that the region needs a comprehensive agency to deal with comprehensive issues.
Agree,
right? 100%. We have separate agencies that are trying to resolve these things. There's lots of tensions. Zelda mentioned how social justice is being lost. I would argue our current structure is terrible for social justice.
Let me get Zelda Bronstein's response to that, because I'm coming up on a break and I want to give the phone number for people to call. Zelda Bronstein?
Yes. So they're both, in some ways, both agencies have a democracy problem. But MTC is much worse. And in terms of the social justice question, here's evidence. Last July, MTC staff, led by Executive Director Steve Heminger, wanted to remove key anti-displacement language from the updated version of Plan Bay Area. ABAG staff wanted to keep it there. It's in there. It's in there because equity advocates from all over the region, public advocates, Council of Community Housing Organizations, Urban Habitat, fought to keep that language there. So it's there, but the policy conflict remains.
Zelda, let me interrupt because we are coming up on a break here, and I want to give listeners an opportunity to weigh in here. We'll hear more from Dave Cortese and from our guests, but we'd like to hear from you, and we invite you to join the program. If you have something that you want to ask or something you want to say, now would be the time to call us. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. A lot is at stake here in terms of regional planning. Feel free to weigh in. Our toll-free number again, 866-733-6786. Or you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. You're listening to the Forum program. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about benefits and drawbacks of a potential merger, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission and the Association of Bay Area Governments. And we have a whole panel with us here in studio, Egon Terplan from SPUR and Julie Pierce from ABAG, with us by phone, Dave Cortese of MTC and Zelda Bronstein, who writes for 48 Hills and is a Bay Area activist with the Berkeley Planning Commission. We spoke earlier with Assemblymember Catherine Baker, who I believe is the only Republican here in the Bay Area in the Assembly, and we're hearing pros and cons, and we certainly do want to hear from you. A lot, as I say, is at stake here, and a lot indeed is in the mix. Our toll-free number again is 866-733-6786. You can also feel free to email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, and you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum. Let me give you a sample of some comments that are coming in. This is from a listener, a former MTC staff member, who says, as a former planner at MTC, linking land use and transportation decisions are key to achieving the state's climate and mobility goals. But the two agencies have such different cultures, ruled by executive staff with large egos that are largely out of touch in things that are happening at the local level. It will be a challenge for the two agencies to work together. The merger is a good thing, but it will take years for both agencies to figure out how to work together and with the local agencies how to solve the region's problems. Here's a tweet from a listener who says, only reason anyone would want to keep these two entities separate is to perpetuate a lack of coordination that stalls growth. The assembly member worries about loss of local control of planning, and scores of Bay Area cities is the problem. And Jonathan writes, the refusal of the peninsula and North Bay towns to permit enough housing is a large part of the reason that the Bay Area has a painful housing affordability crisis. And when every town is eager to implement beggar thy neighborhood anti-housing zoning, we need a strong organization to set and enforce a coherent regional plan. The MTC should have greater power to force these towns to bear their part of the region's housing responsibility. On the other side, here's Susan, who says, many of us are alarmed about MTC's top-down authority that undermines local control. ABAG, on the other hand, has representatives from the Bay Area's 101 cities and 9 counties. MTC has demonstrated its willingness to act like the bully on the playground in its approach to this merger. Is it any wonder citizens are concerned and opposed to MTC becoming the primary force in land use and transportation planning? The merger might be a good idea for top-down planning and big business interests, but not a good idea for citizens and communities. And let me get a response from you, Dave Cortese, on that last email.
Well, you know, first of all, hyperbole is seems to be the name of the game in terms of some of the public comment. The fact of the matter is, you asked about functional consolidation, which was my proposal last June to take an initial step to start integrating the two planning departments. And if you read that, it very, very clearly says that the governance structures of the two agencies should stay the same for the time being. So for those who would turn around after looking at that document and say, my God, MTC is trying to bully ABAG and take away their governance, either aren't reading the documents or are more interested in trying to stir the pot and create fear and anxiety among people, including staff members at both the agencies, rather than, you know, looking at something that was really a very thoughtful approach to taking a first step towards efficiency. You got to look at the practical side of this. One of the speakers just said just a little while ago, efficiency isn't the problem. These two agencies share a building, but they're on separate floors. ABAG's on the first floor, MTC's on the second and third floor. They have separate receptionists. At the most pragmatic level, that is absurd. That's the kind of thing that, drives taxpayers crazy. When you talk about trying to be accountable to constituents, to people who vote, you start telling them things like that, that we have two planning departments linking housing and transportation, not one. We have two receptionists. We have separate elevator keys to go to these offices that are just artificially divided. There's any number of absurdities that are going on in terms of efficiency. We're trying to take an initial step. The leaders of the two organizations, as I said, that got together last year said, you know, let's have each executive director take their best shot at proposing a model that they think might work as a step toward efficiency. Both executive directors fell in line and did that. And that process went through very serious public vetting and continues to do so today. So, you know, people like Zelda or anybody else who wants to show up at a public hearing and comment have had ample opportunity to do that, not just for the past year, but for the past several years, and that'll continue in the future. We're public entities. We're governed by the Brown Act, and We do everything in a spirit of transparency.
Those other Bronstein, did you not read the document?
I've read and I've written thousands of words about this. First of all, it's not hyperbole. Well, let's go back to those meetings. Those meetings that Supervisor Cortese is talking about, those meetings were held in secret, and it did not emerge that Julie Pierce and Dave Cortese, a couple other supervisors, had been meeting for months to discuss this. Didn't come out until July. That's one thing. Secondly, what also isn't being said about this proposal, that if a merger isn't agreed upon by the end of June, that hostile takeover, the code is functional consolidation, MTC would raid ABAG's land use planners, that's going to happen. So it's possible that MTC is just saying, okay, we'll wait for 6 months, 7 months. And one of the reasons they're doing this is because the union, SEIU Local 1021, which represents ABAG employees, ask them to do this. MTC has no union. Their employees have no union representation. So we'll go along with this for 6 or 7 months, and then maybe we won't be able to figure out a way to merge, and then we're going to grab ABAG's land use planners. And it's not just that they're going to grab them. They're not going to continue paying for them. ABAG has said that if that happens, because that money also pays for operating costs, for pensions, the agency could go bankrupt.
All right, I want to hear from Aegon and then get to our callers who are waiting patiently here. Aegon?
Well, I think that when we're talking so much about this internal issue, the public who's listening out there must be thinking, every day I deal with traffic. Every day I deal with challenges of where my kid's going to live in this region. Every day I deal with thinking about the air quality of this region. Those are the regional issues. We need regional government to solve issues individual jurisdictions are incapable of doing. That is why we have an agency that doesn't allow individual cities to dump garbage into the bay as they were doing in the 50s. You lose a little bit when you create regional government, but you gain something much better. The Golden Gate National Recreation Area meant that individual cities in Marin and San Mateo County couldn't sprawl into the hills. But now we have an asset that's open space. So the question is, how do we make a Bay Area that is better for everybody? What's the right format? And I wanted to get at this issue of who's running the agency now or what's their attitude. It is not about who is in charge of these agencies. It's not about who's on the board. It's about what's the system we need for our region. And so people that focus very much on the individuals there are missing the bigger question. They're missing really the broad generational question of how do we set up something that prepares us for the future. And this is the argument I was making before. We're not solving social justice. We're not solving housing. We're not solving transit ridership. And so we need to really think fundamentally, do we have the right institutions? And the institutions we have were designed for a different era. And so we need to invent institutions. And I would argue, and this is part of where we're coming from, we need to actually come up with a new comprehensive agency that MTC and ABAG fold into.
All right, hold that thought because we're going to go to our callers, and we'll start with you, Billy from Redwood City. You're on the air.
Thanks. I don't understand who has enforcement power here. Where does the enforcement power reside? Which entity has final authority? Is it cities? Is it counties? Is it ABAG? Is it MTC? Who has the power to overrule whom?
Big question. Where's the power? Who wants to step up to the plate here?
Power's in local agencies.
It's Julie Pierce. Go ahead.
The regional agencies set the regional goals and policies for the Bay Area while trying to honor the local land use authority to implement those goals in a way that suits each individual jurisdiction and reflects the values of those communities. We have very few, if any, enforcement policies. The state has minimal ones through their land use elements, through the housing elements that each city must adopt.
But Plan Bay Area is a mandate.
It's mandated to put the plan together. It's not mandated to implement it.
Right. Okay. But the plan has to be put together, and that's really what we're talking about here, is how the plan is best put together, whether it's single agencies operating autonomously.
But realistically, in order to get to anything that's meaningful, and we tried very thoughtfully to put together a plan that is meaningful, you need to bring all of the local agencies along and provide them incentives to do what we consider to be the right thing. Some will find one way to do it for their community. Some will find another way, but it has to be local control that decides how that's done.
All right. I'm going to thank the caller and move along here to another caller, and that's you, Paul. Welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks for having me. I've been to most of the Plan Bay Area meetings, their open houses and so on. And the problem is that MTC is biased in that they will say, this is going to be great, we're going to have these higher density areas and so on, we're going to force them on cities, but they won't admit that the traffic gets much worse in those areas. At least when we have ABAG as well, we have some voice in this otherwise unaccountable organization, MTC, who are not directly accountable to voters. They aren't voted on directly. And they need to start admitting the faults of their Plan Bay area.
Yeah, Paul, I appreciate your comments. Let me go to Dave Cortese.
First of all, I want to agree with Julie Pierce. I think she hit the nail on the head. Land use, local control is paramount. Cities and counties control land use. In a recent public tabletop exercise that we did with the consultant that's helping us with this merger study, all of the elected officials, no matter which agency they serve on, and some of them serve on both, as I indicated before, all of them 100% agreed that local control is paramount. So, this is why I use words like hyperbole when people start talking about local control being threatened. It's just not on the table. It can't be on the table. The state controls that. The assembly member who raised that issue earlier knows that the state of California requires local control. Cities and counties control land use. And she knows that in 57 out of 58 counties, the two, what we call two agencies, are merged, and there has been no threat to local control. So, this isn't really about that. It's about trying to move forward, and create efficiencies. I think we welcome the public comment. I think we all understand that the Plan Bay Area process that the last caller was just now talking about had some hiccups. We acknowledged that earlier on the call. Those are the kind of things that we think might be a little bit smoother if we're a little more coordinated in our planning approach. We just have to figure out, how to structure that.
Let me thank Paul for his call and read some more of your comments. And you can join us by phone at 866-733-6786 or email forum@kqed.org. Here's Carol, who tweeted us, "The issue on the merger should be focused on equity and efficiency in regional planning, not organizational politics or fights." And Pilar writes, "Let's have a conversation about what we actually need as a region." I think we're all for that here. What's the plan for addressing transportation, housing, land use, climate, and equity issues cohesively across the region? Clearly, both agencies have issues, but this isn't about either. And what kind of regional governance structure do we need to get there? And here's a question, actually. It's from Marjorie, and I'm wondering, Zelda Brunstein, if you might want to respond to her remarks, because she says, "How would a merger of MTC and ABAG deal with very serious issues of affordable housing and transit justice? It is already hard to hold Alameda County transit leaders accountable to move forward on free youth bus passes that are provided under Measure BB approved by the voters in 2014. Seems that a merger would reduce avenues for citizen input, so I don't see how an MTC and ABAG merger would improve policies currently affecting our most vulnerable and disenfranchised, as well as most of us who depend upon affordable housing and affordable public transit." I think that's kind of what you've been saying here, Zelda Brunstein.
That's exactly what I've been saying. And I'd like to go back to what Egon was saying and also just in a way respond to Dave Cortese. The issue here is power and its growth. How much, how fast, for whom, who gets hurt, who benefits, and who controls it. Spur and the Bay Area Council, which both support the merger or a merger, we don't know exactly what we're talking about, but let's say a merger consolidation, have both stated that one of the reasons they want this, perhaps the major reason, is that they want to diminish local control over land use, development, and zoning.
You said that publicly, Ega?
Oh, yeah. They have said that publicly. Take a look at the economic prosperity strategy. So that's one thing, and what the...
I just want a response from Egon
ahead,
to that.
Sir.
No, there's no indication in any reports about diminishing local control. What we're interested in is accomplishing things for the regional interest. And let me just give one example of this. So we've been talking about local control. Local land use decisions, whether you build a building in a community, how tall it is, how it looks, that's a decision of the local government. But there's a regional question of if a community says, we don't want to build any housing, we don't want to build any affordable housing. Oftentimes there's communities that come that way. The region doesn't necessarily need to invest its limited discretionary transportation funding in that community. It might take a pot of money and invest it, use it as a carrot in a different community that wants to build affordable housing, that wants to grow in a way in line with regional plan. That's really what we've been moving towards already. We already do that under the structure of Plan Bay Area. We'd like to see more of that so that we're actually putting our limited money the money, the funding is going down tremendously from the federal government. So the backdrop to all of this, Michael, is also that, that regions are more or less left on their own in the United States right now. We are,
sound we have, like measured remarks, Elder Bernstein?
Reasonable? You'd like me to respond to that?
Sure.
Well, I just disagree with Aegon about Spur's public position on local control. I don't have the economic prosperity strategy, the nearly $500,000 study, which they coordinated with HUD money. But they make it pretty clear there that that local control needs to be cut back. And also there's something else, and that's the California Environmental Quality Act. MPC director, executive director, Heminger, has said he's for CEQA reform. That's code for eviscerating the California Environmental Quality Act. That is our state's premier environmental law. Spur and the Bay Area Council, both representing business elites in the region, also favor CEQA reform.
All right, I want to bring on another caller here, and Stephen is joining us next. Stephen, you're on the air on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. My problem with ABAG not being able to consider any transportation infrastructure issues, it leads to unrealistic housing mandates for cities that have no mass transit and that will never get any mass transit. I live in Cupertino. I'm a proponent of a sensible growth initiative that's going to be on the ballot. And the issue people have is there's no mass transit in Cupertino. VTA has no plans to ever put any there. And people are extremely worried about what's going to happen with massive office growth, which will lead to massive new mandates from ABAC for housing, but no transportation.
I thank you for that, Stephen. Let me go to Julie Pierce, who's here in studio and is president of ABAC. Julie?
Well, that's right. Everyone has assigned numbers from through ABAG from the state for affordable housing that they are required to plan for. The transportation issue is a tough one, and we're all working to get more transportation money and organizing together. I think we can probably get closer than we can planning separately. Plan Bay Area takes that into account. We understand, and when we allocated the housing units, we did it in such a way that most of the housing, a huge percentage of the housing, 70% plus, was planned for those areas along mass transit routes in what we call priority development areas that had direct access to transit. That does not mean that any jurisdiction gets off scot-free, because that's the state law. We don't have a choice. We have to assign everyone some numbers, but those areas further away from transit got far smaller numbers than those next to transit stations.
Looking at a listener from the Sierra Club who tweets, Ms. Pierce says power is in local jurisdictions, but anybody who defies MTC gets their funding held up or yanked.
I don't think that's quite true. We provide incentives. We don't provide punishments. There is a local return to source for every agency that flows through MTC. And as long as they have an approved housing element and they have a complete streets policy, and I'll ask Dave if I've missed anything there, I think they automatically get that return to source money. There are other pots of money that they might qualify for if they perform certain things. But other than that, no, we don't punish by withholding money.
Well, she's talking about MTC withholding money, and we get back to that question about the purse. But there's another question I'd like to go to you on, Dave Cortese. It's from Eugene, who says, I worked for MTC for a year during the Bay Bridge struggle. Decisions at MTC are worked out before a public meeting is held. The public meeting is largely for show.
You know, I suspect that's, you know, why the open meeting laws, the Brown Act, came into play in the first place, because, you know, there's always, seems to always be public suspicion that that's the case. I will tell you, as an elected official for 23 years, whether it's at the city council, vice mayor or board of supervisor level, or at the MTC ABAG level, that people that I've worked with consistently and categorically honor the open meeting laws. You know, the large organizations, whether it's ABAG, MTC, or a big city like San Jose, tend to be very staff-driven at times. That Brown Act, those Brown Act rules don't apply to staff members like the person who made that comment. That staff person is allowed to work with other staff people to try to formulate a recommendation that comes before a governmental body and try to convince that body that recommendation is good. But that's how bureaucracies work. It's not how government officials in open meetings work. We don't compare notes. We get there at the meeting. We're hearing recommendations fresh for the first time or at whatever point in time those staff recommendations are published. So, again, I think what's happening here is we're talking about trying to create efficiency between two organizations. And, you know, people are trying to treat this like some kind of a divorce where people want to throw everything but the kitchen sink at you in terms of what's any past wrong or concern or issue that's ever come up in the last 20 years. You know, and on the MTC distribution of dollars, most of that, you know, well over 90% of it, based on my education and understanding, is formula driven by the federal government, the state government. Those are population-based distributions or ridership-based distributions based on what the locals are doing or how many people live in a certain community. MTC has very little discretion over, you know, any kind of reward and punishment system, primarily because of very strict formulas that are set up by the FTA at the federal level and of course, state government. So I think that's an area where a lot of people would like to see more regional control so we can put dollars where we think people should be rewarded for good planning behavior, but we just don't have that discretion most of the time.
And again, Dave Cortese is the chair of MTC, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and also former president of the board, ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments. Let me bring more of your calls on here. In fact, if you'd like to join us in the time remaining, it's 866-733-6786 or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. Let me go to Berkeley and welcome Sheila. Sheila, you're on.
Hi. Not to throw another issue on the table, but as a county superintendent for the last 16 years, I've spoken to ABAG a number of times about the lack of involvement of the education world. And it just seems to me really a huge gap in terms of if you're looking at land use planning in particular, but whether it's transportation, all regional issues need to include the voice of education and what's happening with our schools. Schools are some of the biggest property owners in the cities.
And your point is that ABAG hasn't stepped up to the plate as far as land planning with schools and education?
I've gotten quite a bit of, oh, yes, we know schools are very important, and we should include education, but we'll get back to you.
Julie Pierce.
Well, Sheila, send me your name and contact information because we've been scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to find people that will stay engaged on the education front. So we really would welcome your participation. It's been hard to get education involved, and I know that at the city level as well as at the ABAG level. But, you know, we would love to have your feedback.
Let me thank Sheila for the call and go right to another caller, and that's you. Tom, you're on. Morning.
Yes. How would these two agencies affect trying to get a third rail for Caltrans through the peninsula so we can get more trains, better transit? I know there are some bottlenecks in the down the peninsula in the wealthy neighborhoods who don't want the third rail.
Agon.
So right now, that having better rail on the peninsula is a major regional goal. It's actually being – the planning for that's also being tied in with high-speed rail that some communities don't understand. But it's going to kind of a classic issue of this is a way for managing travel and growth throughout the state. So this is – it's an issue that's being worked on now. I think the benefit of if you had merged agencies, you actually really would be talking much more closely about – how the transit is going to be aligned with where growth is going to happen. And so having a single agency would really focus much more so on making sure the communities that are supportive of having efficient transit to get people off of the highways are the ones that are going to be rewarded with that limited regional funding.
Zelda Bronstein, notwithstanding your concerns and your criticism, we keep coming back to the argument on the pro side for merger that it's going to be a much more efficient process. Do you have also apprehension or concerns about that?
Well, I've laid out some evidence about MTC's inefficiency. To me, when people talk about efficiency, you always have to ask, efficiency to what end? It's a smokescreen to me. And in this case, it's about power and policy. It's not about efficiency, really. I think consolidation might be a good idea, but this is the wrong way to go about it. As I said, this is a shotgun wedding. It's being considered much too, the time frame is much too short. And to go back to what Dave Cortese said about open government and meetings, yes, there's the Brown Act, but it's pathetically inadequate to the scope and the seriousness of the issues at hand. I participated in the Plan Bay Area public citizen participation meetings. Yes, they listen, but they don't hear. And nothing of what you said. I wrote pages. I know other people who wrote pages and pages of commentary. There's never any response that's serious or substantive. So they're starting to update Plan Bay Area. I have to do that every 4 years. I went to the meeting for Alameda County. I live in North Berkeley. Where was it held? The Alameda County Fairground at 7 o'clock. I had to drive there through rush hour. I asked that another meeting be held in Oakland where it could be accessible by BART. No, we're not going to do that.
We're going to have to leave it there, Zelda. We're flat out of time here, but I want to extend thanks to you, Zelda Bronstein, again, Bay Area activist and journalist and former chair of the Berkeley Planning Commission, who writes for 48 Hills. We also had with us this hour earlier Catherine Baker, pre-recorded assembly member from the 16th District, and here in studio, Julie Pierce, president of ABAG, Egan Terplan, regional planner, planning director for SPUR, and also had Dave Cortese with us, chair of the MTC and former president of the board for ABAG. And I thank all our guests and thank you, our listeners. A lot of comments that we didn't get a chance to get to, but you can continue this discussion online simply by going to kqed.org/forum. And let me also mention that there is a public hearing on this merger tomorrow, and people can find information about it, about the hearing, that is, on our website by going to kqed.org/forum. And we thank you for being with us for this hour. Another hour up ahead, former Secretary of Defense William Perry will be joining us in the hour ahead. We're going to be talking about the dangers of nuclear weaponry, but also maybe some of the hope and optimism that he has in light of those dangers. So please join us for that. Remind you, we always like to hear from you. You can email us, forum@kqed.org. And thank you for being a part of this morning's program. For all of us here, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.